Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a raw reaction. The full-time whistle was about 40 minutes ago, and I've just been collecting my thoughts and just getting some stuff done here in Melbourne in the morning, first thing in the morning. So I will do my best to cover as much of my thoughts and my feelings and frustrations and missed opportunities as I can here. A very, very tight match. Aside from the opening 20-25 minutes, it was quite a tight match that PSG in the end have edged at 1-0. And look, it's halftime. I know this is not the outcome anyone wanted. It's certainly not what I wanted. I've been on record before saying that I would love a lead to take to PSG, to take to Paris next week. So in that respect, this is not what we were wanting or hoping for. Depending on which side of the coin you or which side of the glass half full or half empty do you want to look at, there's a number of angles to dissect this from. So I'll try as best as I can to process and summarize. Firstly, it could have been a lot worse. When they were on top and that opening 20 or 25 minutes in the first half, we barely touched the ball. I don't know the precise possession statistics were, but I reckon we had maybe 20-25% of the ball. And on the rare times we did get it, we struggled to get out. We struggled to break through our defensive third. There was some nervy moments, you know, with turnovers. We coughed the ball up. Their press was it was sensational. They're the best team Arsenal played this season. Let me get that out of the way. PSG are damn good. I knew they were good. Right, because you don't get to this state, you don't get to this end of the competition, the four best teams in Europe, without being good. Now that's just stating the damn obvious. I tuned in for a little bit of their performance against Liverpool, and I was very impressed with what they saw. This was a marked step up, though. They dialed it right up. We have not faced an elite team of this caliber this season, and I mean that genuinely. This is not me just trying to gloss over the loss and what we could have done better and our missed chances at the other end, which I'll get to shortly. This is not to gloss over all of that. However, this was a real unit of a team. They were slick in possession. They were very, very fast. This is what caught me off guard as well, how quickly they got the ball forward. And I looked up and I'm thinking, well, where are our players? Where are our fullbacks? Where's that midfield protection? We just had gaping holes. And it's something I'm not accustomed to seeing of current day 2025 Arsenal. Yes, I've seen many Arsenal teams in the past. My goodness, have I seen us picked apart so many times, especially as we get to the pointy end of competitions against the big boys in England and Europe. I've seen that many, many times. Arteta has largely ironed that out of the current version of Arsenal. If anything, we are professional, we are composed, we have a shape and structure, and we have a system in play that players step in and out of when we're in possession or out of possession. This is a very well-drilled Arsenal team. And what we've now come across at the other end of the spectrum is the equivalent of us. We've got a very, very, very well-drilled professional team at the other end as well. Luis Enrique has done what he's done at PSG. He's transformed them. He's got rid of the egos, the Galacticos, so to speak. We all know who I'm referring to. And they're actually now just a much, much better, more comprehensive team as a result. They were very, very quick. The way they got the ball forward, geez, I was nervous. Every time they got the ball on the edge of their box, their wingers, they were dangerous, they were a threat. And if anything, I'm actually glad that we came through that opening period just 1-0. Before I get too much into the goal they scored, just a quick note on selection. It was largely as we expected. So Trossard as a centre forward. Thankfully, Marino and White trained again the last few days and they were back in the squad. So Marino came back to midfield. Before the match, I did have a worry. I know we've had a long time to prepare ourselves for the prospect of Thomas Partey not being in midfield and the need for Rice to drop back as the next natural option and no Jorginho, which is a blow. In the back of my mind, I had this nagging feeling that what we've seen the last few months from Rice is something really, really unique. he's been given license when he's not the deepest defense, when he's not the defensive midfielder as the six, he's given like a real creative license, a real flair, almost a box to box roaming role as the left eight. His running power is a hell of a strength for Arsenal. We've seen he and Lewis Skelly have real moments when they can just charge through the midfield. They're both incredibly strong. They keep possession. The ball is at their feet. They've got opposition players just basically bouncing off them, right? Such is their strength and the way they use their bodies. And Rice, as well, with his physical height and his size and his strength, he's a very, very imposing figure. And I had a nagging feeling in the back of my head that we are going to miss Thomas with this, because Rice, knowing that he's the DM, that he needs to then sit in front of the back four and intercept and nip things off the opposition and be that outlet to then bring the ball forward again from the defenders. I had this nagging feeling, and it came to fruition today, that we are going to miss his roaming runs. A couple of times he did it in the second half, and they couldn't handle him. They couldn't keep up. And I'm thinking, damn, if only we had Thomas back there, or even Jorginho, right? So we can release Rice to do what he does best in that roaming role. And then we are just a different proposition, because then, of course, Marino was forward as well. And on the rare times that we had one-on-one matchups at set pieces and whatnot, you look at the height difference from there. I'm taking nothing away from the quality of PSG or the defenders or their midfield, but they can't match us in terms of size and stature, right? When you look man for man, we actually tower over them. And to not have Marino high up, to not have Rice high up because of a suspension, a yellow card, and then an injury to Jorginho, sometimes the margins are this fine, right? We just couldn't quite capitalize. We couldn't quite take advantage. And it's just a shame that nagging feeling really sort of did come to the fore as the match went on. So look, I'll come back to that more in a moment. Selection was largely as we expected. The Emirates Stadium, it was just sensational. The pre-match stuff was brilliant. I loved that cannon, that TIFO banner cannon. And look, you know, I, as good as it was, I also got to point out that I when I saw one side of it a bit crumpled up, like that pulley system, the ropes, whatever you want to call it, right? One side of it wasn't quite working to firmly pull it up and have it perfectly neat on display. I thought, is this a bad sign, right? Is this a sign of what's to come? And in the opening few minutes, we barely touched the ball. PSG, they just, from the opening whistle, they just assumed their shape. They pressed us well. They nipped the ball off us. We were nervous. We were timid, I must say. We didn't handle those first few minutes well. And the first time they really got forward, Dembele scores with a fantastic strike from outside the box. I think I read it was 0.07 in terms of XG opportunity. And like, yeah, I mean, when they scored, wow. It just changed the entire complexion, because you've also heard me bang on and on about Arsenal's home European form this season. We haven't conceded at the Emirates really, and I don't really count the PSV tie because the nature of that match was largely changed due to the 7-1 opening. So we played with a lot more freedom. We were much more cavalier in that second match. So this time, this was a genuine goal, right? It was a fantastic, fantastic goal. And I was really hoping our home form could continue and keep another clean sheet. But 1-0 to PSG, and it was deserved. It was an excellent strike out of nowhere. And look, for the next 15, 20 minutes, they could have had more. On the rare times we went forward, we didn't really do much with it. What I noticed is that, and it must have been tactical, right? We went back to Raya. It seemed disproportionately high the number of times that we, instead of trying to play through the press, that we turned around and gave it back to Raya, and then we'd look to reset and come out again. Whereas I was thinking to myself that we just got to go over the top. Again, because of that size difference, that height difference I mentioned before, we needed to go over the top more. And once we started to do it, we found some joy. We tried to hit Marino. He would knock down the header, have players around him. We went to Martinelli a few times on the left, and he was caught offside once, which he just shouldn't have been. And just little moments like that, like the margins now are so fine at this stage that you got to get the basics right. The one percenters, they make all the difference. And sadly, Arsenal just didn't do it. But we grew into that half. We grew into it. Once we got some sustained possession on the ball, we started to knock it around. We looked like our usual selves. Lewis Skelly had darted forward on one of his beautiful marauding runs in midfield. Fantastic pass to release Martinelli. I knew we can get behind them. We can get behind their fullbacks. They're vulnerable there. Martinelli came in and looked at Donnarumma. He started to do his thing, right? And if we tipped our cap to Courtois in the matches against Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, got to do the same against Donnarumma here. Like he's just a big imposing figure. He's just tall. He's strong. He's intimidating, and we just couldn't get around him. And look, that second half chance that Trossard had, as amazing of a save as it was, just every time I've watched it, I just have a tinge of regret. Like did Trossard need to go on his left foot? I know he's excellent on both feet, but there was a moment, a split second, when he had the space. He could have gone in the middle. He could have gone onto his right, and then that goal would have opened up, and he could have got it past Donnarumma's big left hand. Anyway, it's just one of those things. It's all what ifs, right? We started the second half fantastically well. Finally, Declan Rice was on set pieces again. I should have mentioned this before. Odegaard with his set piece delivery. And I don't want to make it all about Odegaard again. I know there's a lot of discourse around him. But geez, his set piece delivery in the first half. We needed to take advantage of these opportunities because of our size advantage. And the delivery makes all the difference. And it wasn't good enough. It just sadly wasn't good enough. So when Rice opened up the second half, Marino got clattered in the opening seconds after the whistle. He whipped in a beautiful cross. Marino did his thing. I thought it was 1-1. I was off the couch. My son was awake by this time. It was about 5:50 a.m. But, you know, he was excited for this match too. He came out of bed and sat next to me on the couch and was watching. We both jumped off the couch, right? We're both celebrating. Muted celebrations, of course, because my wife and my youngest son, they were still asleep as well, right? So we had a moment, we had a little hug and a high five, and we're thinking, yes, that's what we wanted. What a start. You know, we can go on and win this. And then it just sucks the life out of you, right? The moment you see on the screen, on the coverage, VAR check, goal check, and I had that sinking feeling, my goodness. And how long does it take to call it offside, right? How long does it take? It's either offside or it's not. But unfortunately, it was offside and it was chalked out. And I think that sucked the life out of us again. Sometimes it's just not your night. And at least though for Arsenal, it's only halftime. At least for us, that's the blessing here. It's only halftime. As much as I wanted a lead to take to Paris, strangely enough, our away form this season, it gives me a lot of hope. It gives me so much hope that we can go somewhere and win it. I mean, I said as much. I commented as much on the Askcast, Askblog and Gunner blog, if you listen the other day. They actually read out my question, which was awesome for me, right? It was a lovely little, I was pretty chuffed when I was listening to that and they read out my question. The gist of what my question was is that, what do we believe is an acceptable result to take to Paris? Because with our away form, I believe we can go there and win. And that's our only chance, right? Now it just has to be good enough. It has to be that. The equation has completely changed. It's 1-0. We're down at halftime. We got to go there and we got to score. And hopefully we score early and just change the entire dynamics. The problem for us though is how dangerous PSG are in transition on the threat. They could have, even when we were pushing really, really hard for a goal, for an equalizer, they had two gilt-edged chances late on that just came from nowhere. I do genuinely believe the first one, though, the Barcola one, was offside. Just when they showed a replay and they freezed it momentarily, it looked offside in the build-up play. The second one to Ramos, who came on, the one that he hit the crossbar was, he almost seemed as surprised as anyone else that he had that much space and time. That one, I'm not sure. I think that would have counted. But the first one, speaking of Barcola, right, and this brings me on to my next point. The lack of bench depth, it was, when I read the team sheet, as relieved as I was that Marino started, right, I did have a glance at our bench and there was a high number of, you know how we have to fill out the bench, you've got to make up the numbers with a lot of youth players. I looked at that list and I thought, wow, there's more than usual here. We had two goalkeepers there. We had Setford and Neto. right? And then a host of youth players. In terms of the actual senior members, you know, like the actual substitutions at Arteta that we know he would trust to call upon, I whittled them right down. It was basically White, Zinchenko, Tierney, Wanieri. So we basically just had four options depending on the game state to call upon. And yes, we know Arsenal have been you know, hit by injuries, right? You saw images towards the end of, we saw pitch side, we saw Gabriel, Calafiori, Havertz, there was Thomas Partey in the stands. I've already covered, my goodness, how good would any of them been handy to have on the bench to call upon or even in the starting lineup. Jorginho completely missing, as I mentioned. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate. It is what it is, right? We don't need to go through the whole thing again about last summer's transfer window and the fact that Sterling's sitting there and not really a viable option for us. This doesn't reflect well on the club, because 12 months ago, when we were searching for that elusive goal in the second leg against Bayern Munich, and we were bringing on Nketiah, you know, with all due respect to him, the consensus at the time was, and the club knew this, is that we need to invest. We need to invest on that game-changing forward who can come on and just make all the difference. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. And the margins are so fine now, so tight. Look at what PSG can do. Look at their bench, right? They can bring on Barcola, who's a wonderful footballer. He's fantastic. And we didn't have it, unfortunately. We just don't have that. We don't have that game-changing option. And even as good as Donnarumma was, okay, so please don't misunderstand this point I'm making. As good as the saves were, as good as a big-time, big-chance, a big-moment goalkeeper he has proven to be over many years, I look at those chances. I look at Martinelli's choices, right, where he chose to take the shot, same with Trossard. And I think to myself, man, if we had that big time, if we had that equivalent big time game-changing killer, that big center forward that we all want and we all know we need, sometimes it comes down to split-second moments. You can whittle down an entire season into moments. And the ball landing at the feet of the right person in the right position, in the right time, at the right moment, then it's 1-1. I strongly feel that's my takeaway. I just feel that as good as PSG were, and on the balance of the match, they probably deserve this victory. They probably deserve this win to take back to Paris. As good as Donnarumma was and is, I look at this game and I think, damn, we should be kicking ourselves in that dressing room, because we had the chances, not just to equalize, but to win it. We had the chances. Even late on, when we brought on Ethan Wanieri, he worked his way forward and he found himself in a little pocket, just in his spot, basically. And I know there was two or three defenders right near him, and he's just come on, right? But I want him taking that shot. I don't want him feeding it across to Martinelli, and then he blasted it over. And then that's that. Like, sometimes these finite, rare moments, the split-second decisions make all the difference. I'd rather Ethan take that shot. And then, you know, White came on as well. And, you know, we had that late set piece that Rice delivered. And why is White clattering into Donnarumma? Why do that? It's just, look, I'm sorry. It's just silly. It's just absolutely silly. It is not professional football. It is just completely lacking discipline. Of course, it's going to be a free kick to the goalkeeper. You can't just go and clatter him and impede him like that. Like, why are we doing such silly, silly mistakes? And just to spare a moment lament the bench depth again for a moment. When you look at the game state, as that half wore on, and yes, they were doing their best to suck the life out of the game, the crowd, they did that well, feigning injury, milking the clock. I was looking at our plays, and they were spent. They were out on their feet. Like, the press wasn't there. They weren't moving as freely as possible. And largely this is due to, because we don't have the numbers on the bench to make the changes. But even the first substitution we made was 82 minutes, and we bring on a fullback. All due respect to Timber, all due respect to White, I'm not going to individuals here. I'm saying, when you zoom out and you look at this picture, we were trailing the match and we've waited until the 82nd minute and we brought on a fullback. Now, unfortunately, that's not going to win you the Champions League. It's just not. Sadly, it's just not. And why bring Ethan on in the 90th minute? We should have brought him on earlier. Like, we should have rolled the dice and brought him on earlier. It's a hell of a it's a hell of a task. I mean, we've done this too often, I feel, when we've thrown on Hail Marys, when we give Smith Rowe, we bring him on in the 91st minute or whatnot in years gone by. And like, what do you expect them to do, Mikel? It's just, it's a bit unfortunate, right? If we're going to make the change, we should have made the change earlier. Like I've said, I don't go too hard at individuals here, but I think Odegaard should have been off. He should have been off around the 75, 78 minute mark. Give one area a good 15, 20 minutes to work his way into the match and work his magic. And then I reckon he takes that shot. I think he takes that shot late on. It's hard to expect him just to throw him, and he's been on the pitch for like a minute or so, and then take that shot in a cutthroat semi-final. Give him some breathing space to work his way into the match. Right, he should have been on earlier. If we're gonna do it earlier, Mikel. That's just my feeling. And as I said, look, this is raw. This is a raw reaction. It's just trying to compartmentalize my thoughts and frustrations and how things could have gone better. But having said all of that, right, we weren't blown away. It's still 1-0. We can overcome this. We've got 8 days now to study this, and that trust me, they'd be kicking themselves. No one wants to win more than Arteta. No one wants to win more than these players. They would be kicking themselves. And we've now got 8 days to learn from these mistakes and to do something different and to start next week, to start the match next week, pretty much how we started the second half today. And I know before that, yes, of course, there's a league match this weekend, and we shouldn't lose too much. We shouldn't lose too much focus on the league, because we've petered out, I know, and a few teams are closing the gap around us, and we've dropped too many points. We still need to win, right? We still need to win in the Premier League to secure second. However, you can't help but feel for the players, because they themselves know as well that the big one is next week, the semi final. No one wants to get injured now. No one wants to have an injury or a knock or something that's going to keep them out for 7 to 10 days, because it's all to play for next weekend. So we obviously need Thomas Partey to start next week. It changes the whole dynamic in midfield. Get Marino back up forward. Get Declan Rice further advanced forward. We can change the whole dynamics, the complexion. Our midfield power, when it was on display today, they couldn't handle us. They couldn't handle us. Look, equally, PSG would be saying that they'd be licking their lips too, right? They'd be very, very happy, camp now going back to Paris with this lead, because they'll be saying, look, Arsenal are going to come at us. When we get the ball in transition, look how much space we had. When we get the ball on the edge of the box, look how frightened they were, how timid their fullbacks were. They had to foul us, and we had the pace to run them ragged. So both teams would have plenty of encouragement as well to look forward to. I'm not just going to pretend it's just one way that Arsenal have a pathway to come back and win the tie. PSG themselves will be saying, you know what, we could have killed it off today. Raya had some great moments to keep the lead as minimal as possible at 1-0. And Donnarumma as well, when it was his turn, he kept us out. So both teams would have plenty of encouragement and plenty to look forward to for next week. From an Arsenal point of view, though, there's plenty to take away from this. If we can keep the same lineup, if we can even have the boost of someone like Calafiori, just even back on the bench next week, like can we get 15 minutes out of him? Can we get 12, 15 minutes out of him as a substitute, as an attacking chaotic substitute next week? That's a game changer. That's changing the narrative, changing the dynamic. If everyone is fit and available and everyone comes through unscathed out of this match and training and then the weekend's Premier League match, right? If we can get everyone fit and available again, all of a sudden we look different, because we can bring Trossard off the bench next week. We can have Marino up top. When Martinelli starts to tire, right, if we need to make a change, bring Trossard on, right? We got game-changing impact players of our own that we just haven't been able to utilize today due to the circumstances. But there's lots and lots and lots of positivity to take away from this as well. As much as it sucks to lose, trust me, I'm hurting inside. Like I'm frustrated, because we had the chances to do more today and we didn't take them. And that's largely due to ourselves, our own mistakes. And we're also a bit fortuitous that they didn't capitalize on their chances. They hit the crossbar and yeah, look, it could have been a lot different. However, is 1-0 in the grand scheme of things, is that a deal breaker? Is that the end of the tie? Hell no. Absolutely not. It's halftime. And it's all to play for next week in Paris. Look, I think I'm going to wrap this one up there, and I'll probably need to just collect my thoughts a bit more and record again in a couple of days' time and reflect on this match. But that was a very raw reaction. Please let me know how you're feeling. Please let me know what you thought of the match and what your analysis and assessment was. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much again for tuning in and for listening wherever you are in the world. Look after yourselves. It is not done. Keep supporting the team. Stay positive. We are right in this. You know, back the players. They need our support now more than ever. So look after yourselves. Thank you again for listening. Let me know any thoughts or suggestions or feedback, please. And until the next time, come on, Arsenal.